Hey, good morning, church. It's great to see you. Thank you very much for being here. Certainly, we may be having some technical difficulties. We're good now? Okay, but thank you very much. Appreciate those guys who are up top. When it goes great, it goes great. But when you can't got technical difficulties, you can't help it. But sure am glad that you're here. I do want to especially say to Gaynell and Teresa and Kim, I know you have a big family, Gaynell, but certainly the loss of their mother, Sister Rena, happened Friday morning at about 3:30 a.m., and our loss is heaven's gain. What a great, great lady. But those of you who have been in Gaynell's and their shoes, you know what they're going through today. And so please give them a hug, say a prayer, let them know you love them. The services will be here at Azalea City Saturday, this coming Saturday, from 10 to 11 will be a visitation, and then the funeral will be at 11. And so everyone's invited to that. Sister Rena certainly had the C word that nobody likes to hear, cancer. But thankfully, she had the C word that everybody needs to hear, and that's Christ. And so please remember them. Then I wanted to share with you, this just encouraged me, and I hope this will encourage you. Austin, we know Austin is away at training and been going through a lot. He's going to be in the military. And so he wrote Sister Marcel, and in that letter, he had a special P.S. And it touched her and touched me, and so we wanted to share it with you. Here's Austin's words. I've also been thinking a lot about church. I haven't found one like Azalea City. And now that I've seen the churches outside of home, I understand just how important Azalea City is. That church is extremely special, and it means a lot to me. Think about that. Think of the impact you have had on Austin and Mason and their family, and of course their sweet little sister now, and just appreciate you. But continue to remember guys like him and Addison East who are away and getting ready to help defend our country. You know, this country, I'm proud of. And I said this Wednesday night, and I'm thankful to live here. Trust me, I am. I'm thankful for the sacrifice that has been made so that I can be free. I'm thankful to know that we can be here this morning. We've already had Bible class, and we've been in worship. And we know that that has happened because men and women have sacrificed and fought for our freedom. This country is not perfect by any stretch or any imagination of it being. But it is the greatest country on earth, of course, in my opinion. But this country is not my home. This country is where I live right now. But this is not my home. Sure, when I put on where's your address, I put 3166 McRae Drive. Because that is my temporary home. But my permanent home, my eternal home, is in heaven with God. We are just strangers here. We are just pilgrims. Imagine receiving a letter, and in the mail, you open it or you get the letter, and it's addressed to the temporary resident. Because that's who we are. Well, as temporary residents, we open it and we find words, and those words are encouragement. Those words are reminders of what our true mission is. Those words remind us of where our true home is. You see, we may not receive a letter like that, but the churches of the Bible did. And that's why Peter, Paul, and the Hebrew writer wrote letters to give us hope. A letter from God to his people who are on pilgrimage. Words like this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 20, but our citizenship, next slide please, but our, these will be really fast right here, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 11, 13, though these all died in faith, not having received the things promised. This is from that great chapter, the Hall of Fame of Faith, if you will, Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, the Noahs, the Moseses, all those, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. You heard those two words in those passages. We are strangers and we are sojourners. We are pilgrims, if you will, on a pilgrimage. God's people who live in the world, but not of the world. This identity, and I would call this part three, if you will. I taught about identity a few weeks ago, and then Justin followed that up with maybe a 2 or a B, and this would be C, if you will. We are sojourners and strangers. When we understand who we are and what is our mission, it affects how we think, how we live, and what we long for. Today I want to talk to you about heaven. I want to talk to you about where we are here on this earth and about where we're going. And along the way, I want us to see that nothing else really matters. Yes, I understand that while we're here on earth and we're in this temporal, that we have to work and we have to make a living and we have to bring home money so that we can pay our bills and do other things. But all of that in the grand scheme of life doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Listen, I am very proud of my children who achieve good grades and do great things. And I do not want any child to take Brother Terry's word and use it against their parents. But in the end, good grades don't matter. Y'all hear me out on that, okay? You can't use that as an excuse. But what really matters is heaven. Heaven matters. Am I living today like I'm saved? Am I living today like I'm prepared for a prepared place? Let's talk about it. Number one, what's our position right now? Where are we right now? Well, what we have to realize right now is we're not home yet. This is a temporary residence. We're just travelers traveling through. Now listen, have you ever thought about this, that this morning you could have awoken in a place where all you knew was war? Where all you knew was that you had to watch out, you had to listen for bombs going off, and you had to make sure that bullets weren't flying over your head, and people were hating you, and there was hatred all around, and all of that. I am thankful I didn't wake up in a country like that. I am thankful I woke up in the United States of America. I'm thankful I was born here. It was just a blessing to be able to do that. And I understand that not everybody's that way. But no matter what, how thankful we are for where we live, there's something far greater than this. And we're just traveling through. Why we landed here, I'm not exactly sure. But I know wherever we landed, I know what our purpose is. And today, we need to understand that this is not where we plant permanent roots. There are a lot of people that want to live here. Rightfully so. We understand it. There are a lot of people that, as you have heard in the news, unless you've been under a rock, that came in illegally to our country and everything else. Why? Because they want to be in the United States of America. But wouldn't it be great if we had that type of desire to be in heaven? That no matter what, I'm going to make sure I get to heaven. Because that's where our citizenship is. Paul said in Philippians 3:20, as we read earlier, it doesn't say there that my citizenship will be in heaven. He said our citizenship is in heaven. What if you saved a spot for somebody that loved you and you loved them? Maybe you're going to something and it was standing room only, but you saved a spot. You had one spot saved for this friend of yours, this loved one of yours, to come and be by you, and they never showed up, or they sat somewhere else. How would it make you feel? It'd probably hurt you. It'd probably make you disappointed. Guess what? There is a spot in heaven with your name on it. There is a spot in heaven with my name on it. How will it make God feel if we do not show up? That spot is ours. That place is ours. Your citizenship right now is reserved in heaven. You know, the patriarchs understood this. We're talking about Hebrews chapter 11. Talking about men like Moses and Noah and all these great heroes of the Bible. And the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11:13, they were strangers and exiles. How about Abraham? Another great hero of the Bible. Remember, he was promised the promised land, but you know what he did in the meantime? He lived in tents. He lived in tents out in the wilderness as he traveled. Why? Because he had not yet got to that promised land. These patriarchs looked forward to a city with foundations built by God, Hebrews 11:10. You see, this life is a layover. That's all it is. We're heading to our final destination, but right now, whether it's a 100-year layover, a 75-year layover, or whatever age layover, right now is a layover. Because our next flight is the one we want to be on. We want to be in heaven at the final destination. So we, understanding our position, should not live like this world. We got to live like we belong in heaven. Number two, let's talk about our practice. You see, our practice means that we must live with different values. That's real important. We are the called out. That's what the word means, the church, ecclesia. That means we are called out. We must be different than the world. You know what the culture around us says? Hey, live for you. Go get yours. It is Sunday fun day. Don't go to church. And listen, I hope that phrase is dying out, but I still think people observe it. You know, it's do whatever you want to do. If it makes you feel good, do it. Don't let anybody stand in your way. That's the culture that is around us, even right here in this country that we live in, temporarily. That's all around us. Hey, you go do you. You go be you. Somebody hurts you, you go get them. Somebody has got something you want, you go out and you do whatever you can to get it. Because this is about you. Burger King's slogan, again, it's catchy. I mean, I can catch myself singing it all the time. But you know what they say? Have it your way. Why? You rule. No, you don't. No, do I, nor do I. We don't rule. God rules. It's not about me. It's not about my desires. When I was obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, when I, as Theo said, confessed that sweet name after I turned from my sins and I was immersed in water for the remission of my sins, it quit being about me. You know, again, no offense to our Ukrainians by any means, but when I go to your country, I will do, like I've been to their country several times. Their culture is different. I don't have one of your Ukrainian shirts. You know, I mean, George does, and I'm glad he does. But I didn't adapt to that culture, right? When you travel to a different country, I'm not becoming that country. I'm not becoming them. Why? Because it's not my home. They say, man, that is the countryest Ukrainian I've ever heard in my life. You know, if I did that. Justin and I, you ought to hear us try to talk Ukrainian when we're over there. Wow. We get laughed at a lot, don't we, brother? But see, that's the point. Strangers don't adopt the customs of the land they're passing through. So I shouldn't even adopt the customs of this land. the culture of this land that I live in. Jesus said it this way, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see, He understood that the necessities of life were important, but what really mattered was seeking the kingdom first. Paul, Justin used this verse last week in his great sermon. He talked about Colossians 3 verse 2. Set your minds on things where? Above, right? Set your minds on things above. Not on things that are on the earth. We want to set our mind on things where God is. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to be. And so as long as I am living on this earth, I'm not going to adopt this culture. I'm not going to adopt another country's culture. I better adopt what God wants me to adopt. Abstaining from something requires then anchoring down. If we're going to abstain from being like the world around us, we must anchor in our hope. We can't abstain from the passions of the flesh unless we are anchored in our true identity. Whose are you? You're His. You belong to God. You know, you throw out that anchor to hold your spot. That hope that we have in what? Heaven holds my spot. We live differently. Again, we have different values. We live differently, not just to be different, but why? Because we belong to a different world. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world, this world, but be transformed and be citizens of heaven. Well, once we understand our position and once we see what our practice is, then we have to look at what our number three, our perspective is. You know what I'm doing today? I'm longing for a better country, aren't you? Listen, I again can't say enough. I do not want this to say Terry's not proud of the United States. I am. But I want something even better than this, and it's out there for us. Hebrews 11:16 reads like this, but as it is, talking about now those patriarchs, right? Those great men of the Bible, those heroes of faith, but as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. You know, we're not just leaving earth. When we die, we're not leaving earth. We're actually going home. C.S. Lewis, again, a great Christian-based author, writes it like this, and I just thought this was so good. If I find in myself desires nothing in this world can satisfy. Let me say that again. If I find in myself desires nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. And that is so true. You know what longing does? That hope that we have, that longing to be with God, it shapes the way we live, or it should. When heaven is real to us, earth's going to lose its grip. Think about it. When heaven is real to us, the things of this world will lose its grip. Listen, there are a lot of great things that we have, but I've often described it this way. What is the very best day you've ever had on this earth? I don't know what that day is. You can ponder on that some other time. I don't even know what my best day on this earth is. I mean, it's probably a combination of several days in one in my head. But let's just say whatever that best day is on earth will be the very worst day you ever have in heaven. You see, this earth has nothing on heaven. When we long for heaven, we loosen our attachment to things that are temporary. Think about Paul. It was read to us by Ethan earlier, 2 Timothy 4, 6-8, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come.
I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Think about Stephen in Acts. Stephen had just preached to them. He stood in an angry mob and he preached the truth in love. He told them, "You had the Messiah, you killed Him, you did all these things." And they took rocks. They were so mad at Him. They were biting at Him. They were gnashing at their teeth. They were so mad that they took rocks and they stoned Him to death. As stones are coming and bashing His head in, He gazed up and put His eyes on Jesus Christ, because that was where His home was, and He was about to go there. Number four, then, what's our purpose? Why are we here? I told you it's a long layover. We're pilgrims, we're sojourners, we're strangers. Why are we here? Why are we here? In the meantime, we are here to represent the homeland. Paul said again, Philippians 3:20, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We are to represent Jesus Christ and the kingdom while we're away from our true home. Ambassadors. When you have an ambassador to the United States, or ambassadors all over whatever, they live by the rules. They may live in a different country, but they live by the rules of their homeland, not the host land. 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." When you go to work tomorrow, you will represent the kingdom of God. If you're not representing the kingdom of God, then the earth has still got a good grip on you. Doesn't mean we're going to do it perfectly. We're going to mess up. I'm a human. You're a human. We're all going to make mistakes. But it wouldn't take very long, right, for us to separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. How long does it take for you to encounter somebody to know if they're heaven bound or not? It doesn't take long, because they're different. We ought to be different. We should talk different. We should act different. We should react different. While we're here on this earth, we represent heaven. We represent God. We represent Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God. While we're here also with that, as pilgrims, we're in the soul winning business. We are to live as strangers here on earth to lead others home. Evangelism, you know what it is? It's inviting others to join the journey to get to the better country. How frustrating must it have been for God that those Israelites could not ever get to the promised land. Of course, Joshua got them there, but many of them had died, the complainers. They adapted. Remember, they even said, as God had delivered them and they were made free from slavery, they even said when their bellies were growling and their tongues were dry and they weren't thinking like they should have been thinking and representing who they should have been representing, they said, "We were better off in slavery." I want you to know, folks, we're not better off here. Compared to the rest of the world, sure we are. But compared to heaven, we're nothing here. When we suffer, we're suffering as pilgrims, temporary residents. Our hope doesn't rest in this cursed, broken world. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, verse 18 of chapter 8, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Think about that. May we suffer. May people persecute us. May we go through some hard times. Sure. But what is waiting on us is far greater than this. And it leads us to our final point today, number 5. Our promise. There is a city prepared for us. Hebrews 11:16, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. When you hear those words, I need you to know it's not just a neat concept. It is a real city. Heaven is real. It's real. It's not wishful thinking. A place with no tears. A place with no death. A place with no sin. Then I, that's John, saw a new heaven, Revelation 21. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And He who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also He said, write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. Heaven's not make-believe. There's a lot of fairy tales out there that paint this beautiful picture of a place that the ones who are struggling in the story are trying to get to. It's not this magical land that you can only read about in stories. Jesus, specifically the Holy Spirit, had John write these things down about heaven because they're trustworthy and true. You know what Jesus has done? He's gone ahead of us. He's gone ahead of us to get your spot ready and my spot ready. In fact, He wrote said in John 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Well, when Thomas said, we don't know, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, gets to heaven, without going through Jesus Christ. The promise of heaven should fuel our perseverance. Every trial you go through, every trouble you have, again, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. He said on another occasion, you're going to have tribulations, but be happy about it, be of good cheer, because I have overcome this temporary world. Ever since the beginning, it's been about God dwelling with us. He tried it with a heavenly host. They rebelled. He tried it in the Garden of Eden. They rebelled. He tried it again, and they rebelled at the Tower of Babel. He said, finally, I'm going to make my own nation, a nation where they can love. They still rebelled. It took His Son coming through that nation to get us back to heaven. We still don't deserve it.
but He just wants to dwell with us. He just wants to live with us.
So in conclusion, I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, realize.
Realize this world is not our home.
Realize our citizenship is in heaven. Realize that all we are right now are sojourners, strangers, but we're beloved children of God.
I want you to, number one, realize, and number two, I want you to resolve.
Because what we have realized, we resolve to live with different values, to walk with a pilgrim's purpose, and to keep our eyes on the city that's being prepared for us as we speak.
I've said a lot about this over the years, but it still encourages me. In John 14 that we just read, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. To me, that's present tense. He's still getting it ready.
If everything we know and can imagine and even beyond our dreams, God did it here around us in 6 days,
Jesus has been working on heaven for a long, long time. How great is heaven going to be?
So as we close, let's ask ourselves, have we gotten too comfortable in a world that we were never meant to call home? Are we living like strangers, or are we living like citizens of this world? Are we drawing others home to the place that we long for? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Today, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you never walked, worked, or worshiped with heaven in mind, you're still rooted in this world, I want you to know that Jesus went to the cross to pave a way, to make a way, to be the way. So today, as we're reminded of in Scripture, in John chapter 3, Jesus telling Nicodemus there, you must be born again. Today, if you haven't been born of the water and the Spirit, if you haven't been immersed in water to contact the life-saving, life-giving blood of Jesus Christ, why not? Why would you wait? This place is not home. Heaven is. But in the meantime, if you've allowed things to get in the way, if you've allowed the world to creep back in, today it's time to get rid of it. Can we all make a promise that no matter where we are right now, no matter what we're going through in life, we're not going to let the temporary things of this world keep us from God anymore? Today, I don't want to be morbid as I close, I want to be positive, but today could be the last day we ever sojourn on this earth. It could. We could walk out of here and it be it. Am I ready? You're a prepared people for a prepared place. The question is, are you prepared? If not, let's get ready right now together. We stand and sing.